Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection on this day of Pentecost is from our Gospel. Jesus said, the Father will send the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Today is indeed a festival day in the life of the church. It isn't Christmas, it isn't Easter, so much of the world lets it go by unnoticed. But an important day in our lives together as the body of Christ, to be sure. This celebration of Pentecost ushers in a whole new era in the life of the church. Before Jesus died on that cross, of course, he knew that his friends, his disciples, would be scared and confused by the events that were about to transpire. They were just moments away from going into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know all that would unfold from there, and they, of course, did not. And Jesus is seeking to reassure them, to comfort them, even as he tells them he is about to go away. And so he promises that the Holy Spirit, that the Father would send the Holy Spirit, called also the Helper or the Comforter, to bring them that comfort that they would so need. He's telling his disciples that God will not leave them alone, even as he has gone from their company. And that, in fact, the Holy Spirit would enable them to boldly and courageously carry this gospel, this good news, out into the world. And so, as we know, the familiar narrative, soon after Jesus ascends back to the Father, the disciples gather again in Jerusalem, and there they wait, as they had been instructed, until that momentous day that comes on the day of Pentecost, that 50 days after the celebration of the Passover Sabbath, where our Lord became himself the Passover Lamb, 50 days later the disciples are all gathered together. And they hear this extraordinary noise that can be best described as the sound of a rushing wind, though there is no wind to accompany it. And then they see those tongues of fire come to rest over the heads of the disciples. One has to wonder how long that event took place, because Scripture tells us that people from all over Jerusalem were gathered by that sound. So it must not have been a momentary thing. It must have persisted long enough to gather a large crowd from throughout the city. This flame that rested above the heads of the disciples clearly identifies them for some sort of special mission, distinguishing them from others in the crowd. And indeed, they take on that mission right away and begin to convey the news of Jesus. They begin to share the gospel message. But as we know, it isn't just in the language of Jerusalem. It isn't just in Hebrew or just in Aramaic, but instead it is a language that is heard by the people who have gathered from all over the ancient Near East. And they hear it in languages that are their own. And to illustrate the point, imagine this. Imagine if at the same time as we are sharing the gospel together, if I were to say to you, Jesus, Syn Boži, lubit vas. Would you know what I said? Any takers?
Jesus.
Yeah, it starts with Jesus. Yeah, very good. Very good. One of the most recognizable words on earth, as a matter of fact. You would, of course, if you had worshipped with us when Mary and I had that opportunity years and years ago to worship among brothers and sisters in Christ in Russia. That would be native to you. This one harkens back to our Lutheran heritage and may get a few more takers. Jesus, Gottes Sohn, liebt dich. Anybody? Where's Cy Zeisler? Late service. In our community, in Racine, there are a great many people who would recognize and worship our Lord with words like this, Jesus, Hijo de Dios, te ama. The Spanish community, of course, recognizes those words. And one of my favorite translations that I dare say none of us would know, Yesu, Mwana wa Mungu, akuna penda. That's Swahili. Imagine all of those languages proclaimed at the same time. I always picture being in Manhattan, where those languages and dozens more are spoken all the time. And if in one gathering we were hearing all of that and recognizing that in each one of those cases, that same phrase was simply, Jesus, God's Son, loves you. And we would continue to proclaim in those languages to people so that they could be, so that that word could be understood in people's native tongues. That was the great day of Pentecost, which of course then would enable those same people to travel back to their hometowns with this good news in a language they understood clearly and could share, and thereby the beginning of the spread of the gospel, starting with its origin among those disciples at Pentecost, where we see clearly the Holy Spirit at work in those men. I have to say, to me it would be the coolest thing if I could stand here today and you see this image like a flame of fire rest upon me and the Holy Spirit enable me to speak Chinese. Because let's think about it. There are like a billion people that speak Chinese. How cool would that be to be able to take the gospel into Asia and speak in a language that so many people in this world who do not have the gospel proclaimed to them, to speak it to them. Although I would say for the purposes of this morning, don't hold your breath. It does not appear that that is God's intended mission for me as it was his mission for those men on Pentecost. And I think it's a temptation for us to think of the Holy Spirit so actively at work only way back in ancient biblical times. But I would submit to you that today, right now, in our world, in our lives, we see the same incredible power of the Holy Spirit at work. It may not be tongues of fire. It may not be in quite the same manner. But one of the most remarkable ways I believe you can see the Spirit illustrated is in the Word itself and what has happened in our world with respect to God's Word, the idea of how it has been carried throughout the world. We confess that this Word of God is not just the story of God, not just words about God, but it is in fact the Word of God, that which God desired us to hear from Him through people like the disciples who were inspired to write exactly what God intended. That has always been our confession. And it's an amazing thing that the Bible has been handed down for thousands of years, generation after generation, and it simply cannot be. It cannot be accidental. It cannot be coincidental that the Word of God is the single most translated, published, and disseminated work in human history with really no close second. Last night, we had our children, as Pastor Jennings said, our young children were singing, and they were gathered all over. In order for us to fit almost 300 people in the sanctuary, we had children in the pews, we had them sitting on the chancel steps, they were everywhere. And the beauty of that was I got the opportunity to have them assist as we looked at the dissemination of Scripture. And we would have done the same thing this morning, but I'm not sure that I can get the Douglases to come up here and stand up on the chancel steps and hold up numbers. So you'll just have to kind of imagine little four-year-old helpers eagerly desiring to do that. So we began with a one and two zeros and illustrated that right here in our sanctuary today are probably about 100 copies of Scripture. And our children each carried one in themselves at the beginning of worship to help illustrate the point. Now, and what we did was then we just continued to extend the numbers. So you add another zero when we get to 1,000, and 1,000 would cover a copy of Scripture for roughly speaking, all of the people who are associated together as our Trinity Lutheran Church. Another zero is 10,000, which reminded me of the extraordinary shipment of God's Word that we received, translated into Russian, when Mary and I served over there, sent to us by well-meaning Christians in Europe. How they thought that the little six of us on our mission team could distribute 10,000 Bibles, I'm not sure, but we had them, and when we handed the mission off to somebody else, I think we had 9,500 still to distribute. I hope they're all gone by now. 100,000 would reflect putting the Word of God into the hands of, roughly speaking, every resident of Racine. 1,000,000 would enable us to circulate that very same Word throughout a substantial American city like Milwaukee and the surrounding metropolitan area. 100,000,000 would enable us to put a copy of the Word in pretty nearly every household in America. And 1,000,000,000 would serve me well in my Chinese mission. What is extraordinary is to imagine now we've got numbers all the way across, right? 1,000,000,000. And to illustrate the number of copies, roughly speaking, that have been circulated in God's Word since the Gutenberg era, you take the one in the front and you change that to a six. Over 6 billion copies of the Bible have been circulated around the world. And that work continues unabated right this minute. Just the work of the Gideons alone distribute 2 to 3 copies of the Bible every second of every day. It's 1,000,000 copies of Scripture every 4 days, some 90 million copies a year. So every 10 years now, just the Gideons circulate 1,000,000,000 copies of the Word of God. Surely that is the Holy Spirit at work in our world. And here, at Trinity, one of the great joys of serving in a church and school is that every single day of the week, we open up that Word and come to understand what it means. Despite all of the circulation of Scripture, there are still a great many people who will say, "I don't understand," or more sadly still, "I don't care what it says." And we have the opportunity here to teach our children day after day what it says, enable them to understand, and as we understand God's Word, His Holy Spirit continues to be at work in our lives, and we and our children come to care deeply what that Word says and why it's so important. For it is only really in the Word of God that we come to understand who God is. and understand who we are before God. Yes, it is true indeed that you can marvel at God's creation out in nature, as many people will say. Absolutely. But you cannot really understand who God is unless you go back to His Word and allow God to tell you Himself. We recognize through the Word that we simply cannot stand in the holy presence of God on our own, that there is nothing we can do to restore our relationship with Him. And we learn through His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit that it was by God's design that Jesus died on that cross, that He did so for all of the reasons we can't stand before God, that He restored that relationship with us, that He opened up to us the way of everlasting life, that He brought to us a peace that the world cannot give. All of that must come from the Word of God. And that is the Holy Spirit at work in our individual lives, even today. It may not be as visibly or audibly dramatic as the day of Pentecost. It is every bit as profound and powerful as that day. And even though this day of celebration and festival is one that the rest of our culture and much of the world considers just another mundane morning, I pray that we today celebrate with great joy the Spirit at work, that we continue to embrace this Scripture as the very Word of God, and in doing so, recognize the Holy Spirit at work in us as He was at work on that first day of Pentecost. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon our Lord Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, today and always. Amen.